Well, the inquiry into the causes of Ireland's banking collapse heard from its first two contributors this week, former senior Finnish Finance Ministry official Peter Nyberg and former Deputy Canadian Finance Minister Robert Wright. They've both produced reports relating to the crisis and little new emerged. Some have speculated that the main benefit of the inquiry will be a form of catharsis which will allow Irish people to move on, but perhaps a more tangible catharsis would be a recouping as much as possible of the €64 billion put into the banks in the first place. The two largest injections were into the now defunct Anglo-Irish Bank, which accounted for about €34 billion, with AIB coming in second at around €20 billion. I've been asking Professor Eamon Walsh, PwC Professor of Accounting at UCD, what figure Irish people could realistically hope to recover.
To be honest, I've no idea. Okay. So I think the whole catch with this is that banks are complex, and understanding the machinations of bank balance sheets is also complex. So, for example, on the one hand, money has been put into banks, but then on the other hand, many of their assets consist of things like money that the government has borrowed. For example, in the case of AIB, they have about €10 billion of Irish government debt on their balance sheet. So, on the one hand, money is invested into AIB, but then potentially AIB is using that to buy government bonds. And so in the case of AIB, there is investments in government debt and there are also investments in NAMA bonds. So it means that it becomes a little bit circuitous when we begin to think about banks.
So the real value of AIB, say around back in the autumn, it was being valued at €11 billion, and that was up almost €5 billion on a year earlier. What explains that rise in value? What explains the value at all?
Well, I think where we have to begin is, people can throw around numbers like €11 billion, but value is how much somebody will pay for the bank. And at the moment, I don't believe there's a queue of people lined up to buy AIB Bank. AIB is a bank which is slowly coming off life support. To suggest that it's about to compete in the Six Nations tournament is probably somewhat unwise. So the very first step for a bank is to begin to get people to lend it money so that it can lend money to customers. And that requires a good credit rating. So the main catalyst over the next 12 months is going to be, number one, can it move up its credit rating? So it's just sort of below the level where it could begin to borrow money in a sensible way on international markets. But until it jumps over that hurdle of having a credit rating that would ensure that it can get access to funding internationally, normal bank funding, it's very difficult to conceive of anybody wishing to jump in and buy the bank.
Now, we have heard reports of people being in the Department of Finance checkbook at the ready, and they've been rebuffed by the Department of Finance. And I know we're speculating here. Why might they have rebuffed them? Is it just too early, or would the terms have been unfavourable, possibly?
Well, I'm not familiar with what happened at the Department of Finance. I think it's probably fair to say that somebody came in with a very low ball offer. And then bear in mind that the bank's balance sheet is tied up very much with the state, and also things like future competition. So in other words, it's not just the size of the checkbook, it's also what sort of conversation you have with the state.
In terms of the timetable of the sell-off, the next general election is being cited as, 2016 is being cited as a time by which stakes in the banks might be sold off, or significant stakes in the bank might be sold off. What's the imperative there? Is that a kind of a natural timeline along which people might be selling off shares in the banks? Or is there a political imperative there to pay down some of the national debt and show a better performance in the economy? What's your sense of it?
Okay, well, I'm not quite sure what the imperatives might be. On the one hand, there's going to be Europe. So there's clearly a certain amount of pressure, I would have thought, in terms of competition and so on, that these banks don't hang around on the state balance sheet forever. Then I would have thought politically, we've seen it in Britain, that it would be very attractive to be able to stand up and say, we have now returned these banks to private sector ownership. We have solved a problem. But 2016 largely is down to, number one, can these banks get their credit ratings over the line into being able to borrow money internationally. Because until that happens, I don't believe you're going to have any sort of great hunger for equity in something like Allied Irish Banks. Because really, as a shareholder, you don't want to be paying for something where potentially there's very little left for you when all the other debts are paid off. And then the question is, how attractive will the bank be at that time? So if you consider the biggest asset for Allied Irish Bank is its loan book. So at the moment, there's a sense that losses within that loan book have stabilized, but one will have to wait and see whether that in fact is the case. Largely, I think at this stage, it's a case of, can AIB demonstrate that its loan book, that most of the bad stuff is out in the open, and that it is perceived to be out in the open? And then the next bit, does it have a path to earning decent profits to pay off debt in the future?
And 2016, just to return to the sell-off deadline, should that be regarded as a movable feast without tying it into doing something significant before the next general election?
Well, I suppose the question is, what do you mean by significant? So you could sell a very small sliver of equity, so to speak, and then claim that you are making a return to the private sector. So, you know, significance could be a very small sliver or the entire bank. But I think unless, and over the next 12 months, if there was significant improvements in the Irish economy, that they were being borne out, that there was growth rates where people felt it was tangible growth in the economy was being reflected in national statistics, and the bank appeared to have booked all of its losses, employment was going up, non-performing loans were coming down. So there's about 30% of the loan book is non-performing. So if some of those loans began to perform, obviously they'd be all very good omens, would begin hopefully to increase the credit rating of AIB. And I think once an event like that happened, it would be a catalyst to be able to go out and do something with the state's equity holding, its shareholding in Allied Irish Bank.
And that was Eamon Walsh, PwC Professor of Accounting at UCD's Smurfit Business School. Well, a spokesman for the Department of the Environment has been in touch on our Irish water story earlier. They don't take issue with the report itself, but the department is keen to say they strongly disagree with several of the figures quoted by Deputy Micheál Martin, the Fianna Fáil leader, in relation to the future costs of Irish water. In particular, they say they reject his claim that Irish water would lead to a net cost to the Exchequer, and they also say they reject Mr. Martin's claim that some €460 million local authority debt relating to water provision will be transferred to the country's balance sheet, so this was a new cost to the Exchequer.